In our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear about Philip. Philip was one of the first seven deacons that were ordained to serve in the early church. And because of a persecution that started in Jerusalem, a lot of the Christians scattered and they went to the surrounding areas. Samaria was fairly close to Jerusalem, a little to the north. And so Philip went up to Samaria and he started preaching there. And there were a large number of converts. He baptized them and then he called upon the apostles, Peter and John, to come and to lay hands upon them so that they could receive the Holy Spirit. It's an early depiction of the sacrament of confirmation. But if we look at the language from the Acts of the Apostles, it's pretty interesting language. It says that one of the reasons why people believed in the message that Philip was preaching was because of the signs that he worked. And some of those signs were healings. But it lists first that demons and unclean spirits were cast out, and possessed people were freed. And people were amazed by these signs. And then after the unclean spirits were driven out, then they called upon the apostles to come in to lay hands on them so they could receive the Holy Spirit. So you have this contrast between the unclean spirit and the Holy Spirit. So when we look at this talk about spirits, generally people in the modern world don't talk that way. And a lot of times people will view this as superstition. You know, these are just ancient people who don't know any better. And because we have a better knowledge of science today, you know, we understand the forces at work and that it's, you know, that these can be explained scientifically and that we don't need to have recourse to spirits. And so a lot of times people today will look back and look at this language and they'll think it's kind of naive or irrational. But is that the case? You know, is this just language that ancient people are using because they don't know any better? Or is there something more to it? And I think in the modern world, we've lost sight of the reality and also the importance of the spiritual world. But it's actually something that's pretty obvious if we take a step back and look at it the right way. If we look at the human person, every human being is both body and spirit. You know, we have a physical body made up of our skin, hair, eyes, blood, bones, you know, all of our cells. That's the physical element. But we also have a spiritual soul. You know, our soul is pure spirit. And so we're a combination of a physical element and a spiritual element. And one of the ways that we know and can demonstrate that we have a spiritual element is take something like joy. We all know what it's like to experience joy. But joy is not something that belongs to the physical world. You can't observe joy. You can't put it under a microscope. You can't test it scientifically. It has no color. You know, you can't determine what size or what shape it is because it's spiritual. It doesn't belong to the physical world. And a lot of things that we experience are like that. Despair or hope. You know, these are spiritual realities. Anger or patience. Jealousy, greed, selfishness, hope, forgiveness, kindness, love. None of these things are things that you can experiment on scientifically. You can't see any of them, but we all know that they exist and they're part of our regular daily experience. Our self-awareness, the fact that we know that we exist, that's a spiritual reality. You know, a rock can't be jealous of another rock because there's no spirit. It's entirely part of the physical world. A rock is not self-aware. It doesn't know that it exists. All these things are spiritual realities. So human beings are a combination of body and soul. And so we live in two realms. We live in a physical realm where we're affected by physical realities around us. You know, things like diet and exercise and the temperature and sunlight, you know, those things affect us physically. But we also live in a spiritual realm where there's other forces that affect our souls. And we can't see those things because they're spiritual realities and they're not visible. And so when we look at the first reading, you know, we have Philip, he's going to preach the gospel and he's trying to extend the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he's going to run into resistance in the spiritual realm. If we look at some vices like jealousy or anger, where do these things come from? Well, in part, it's part of our free will. You know, we can make a free choice. But part of it is the influence of spiritual forces that are around us. And so too with virtues. You know, those are in part result of our free will, a free choice that we make. But in part, it's also a result of cooperation of the grace of God. You know, the power of grace that we receive in the sacraments. That can actually affect our souls because our souls are spiritual realities. And so we have these two kingdoms at play. We have the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And Philip, when he's going to preach the gospel, comes in direct opposition to the kingdom of darkness. So he has to drive out these negative influences, these evil forces, in order to allow the kingdom of light to prevail and in order to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon these people. And in our gospel, you know, Christ promises that he's going to send the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and upon the church, and he calls it the Spirit of Truth. The reality is that these spiritual forces, one of the greatest advantages that we have on our side is truth. Because when the forces of darkness are brought into the light of truth, they lose their power. You know, someone who's affected by, you know, forces of darkness, you know, let's say someone who's affected by greed or jealousy. These are often things that in our minds we go over again and again, and they build up in our minds. But when we express them and shine the light of truth on them, they weaken. You know, for example, if someone's greedy, you know, if they express that and they talk about that to someone, and someone else is like, hey, well, why are you so greedy? You have everything that you need. You know, all of your needs are taken care of. Why are you so obsessed about having something like a Corvette that you don't have? That can weaken the power of that temptation. Or someone who's, angry. A lot of times we get angry over small things, and when we express it out loud, you know, and we bring that into the light of truth, we realize just how insignificant that thing that we're angry over is. And it loses its power. You know, so often these things that gain power when they're in the darkness, when we bring them into the light of truth, they lose their power. And so Christ promises us the Spirit of Truth. But from our standpoint, I think one of the important things for us to be aware of is the spiritual forces that are at work within ourselves, within our families, and within the people that we interact with, our neighbors, our coworkers. You know, what are the spiritual forces that are at work? You know, what is the spirit that's dominating? You know, is it the Holy Spirit that's dominating within our lives, that's compelling us to spread the gospel, to live lives of virtue? You know, are the fruits of the Holy Spirit there? Joy, gentleness, peace? Or are there other spirits that are active? Spirits of jealousy, spirits of selfishness. You know, are those things active within our lives? In which case, we need to shine the light of truth on them, bring them into the truth, and renounce those, take them to confession, and be forgiven. And just like Philip went and he preached the gospel to the Samaritans, and people were drawn to it. They were drawn to the signs that he was working. If the Holy Spirit is active and alive in the way we're living our lives, people should be drawn to that. And we should see the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So for our standpoint, we should be aware of the spiritual forces that are at work within our lives, and to call and invoke the power of the Holy Spirit so that we might be living in accord with the Spirit of Truth.